Good morning, everyone. It's Todd.
And Julie.
With Chrisley Confessions. Good morning, darling. How are you?
Oh, I'm okay. How about you?
Well, you know that I'm late.
Yes, so, you were late. I was waiting on you to start the podcast.
But well, because I had 10 phone calls from the time that you walked out of the bathroom to start early. So I apologize for that. So what has your week been like thus far? It's only Wednesday.
Yes. Well, this week's been a little crazy. And, you know, of course, everyone was up late last night awaiting the results from the election. I have to say, it was, regardless of the outcome, it's been nice that Grayson has taken an interest.
Huge interest.
To understand, you know, what it means when you see a check mark, and does that mean they really won that state? And when you see numbers, and then, you know, to be able to teach him that, okay, you see where it shows in 3%, that means only 3% of the precincts have, you know, are in. So it's been interesting to, from his point of view, and just to be able to teach him those things, because I truly believe that is the key to the future, is to teach this generation that how important it is to vote and to understand what they're voting for.
That's exactly right.
And, you know, and it makes me just amazed that literally the next election he'll be able to vote. Isn't that crazy?
Think of that.
I mean, literally the next election he will be old enough to vote. So for that, regardless of who wins, I think that's been a good thing that he's actually learned something.
I think that this election has been groundbreaking. Or rather earth-shattering, because so many, I mean, look at all of the millions of people that actually voted early.
Yes.
And then look at all of the people on day of that were standing in line to vote. So, folks, that tells you that everyone has an opinion.
Right.
And you're going to vote based off of what your opinion is, just like I do, just like what you do, and on what policies this individual stands for. So, I mean, it has been very interesting to watch even Chloe saying,
"Yeah,
who's going to win, Dad? Who's going to win?" And so, you know, that's been very interesting as well. And, you know, we've had some very healthy debates
right.
in our family.
Yes.
And with people that work for us and with us. And,
right.
you know, we've had some very healthy debates. And so for that, I'm always appreciative, because I believe that through conversation is where change occurs.
Right.
And so if we have been able to benefit one person throughout this election process to understand a scenario differently than what they understood it before, and they acknowledge that, then that's amazing. That's a blessing.
Well, and the same for us, that maybe we were able to see a scenario differently than someone else, and not that Chase sent me a little saying or
it was a quote.
Quote yesterday. And I just thought it was so fitting that, you know, at the end of the day, whoever wins this election, they're going back to their world.
That's
they're going
right.
back to their political, their wealthy political world. And, you know, we are still here. We're still eating together, shopping together, going to church together.
Being neighbors with each other.
And that's not changing. And you can truly love someone that has a complete different political view than what you have.
Mm-hmm.
And we are what makes America. And our differences are truly what makes America, America.
100%. Biden doesn't make this country America. Trump did not make this country America. The people made this country America.
Right.
And I was saying to someone, you know, at our new house the other day that it was a contractor. And I said, you know what? I said, there are certain things in every administration that I will agree with and that I will disagree with. And I said, but the one thing that none of us should ever become complacent with is the inhumane treatment of others.
Right.
That we should never become complacent with. I don't care how you got to this country. If you're here, We still need to love our brothers and sisters. We still need to lift them up. We still need to help them prosper. And we still need to make sure that families stay together, because the breakup of families is truly what will erode this country and the world. And so do I think that you should be here illegally? No. But do I think that we should be locking kids in cages? No, I don't. Do I think that we should be separating mothers from their children? No, I don't. There's got to be a better way for that. But at the same token, you know, we all have to show compassion. And compassion comes in all shapes and sizes and forms. You know, we have to show compassion and grace to those who feel like that, you know, they don't want anyone in this country that's sucking on our system and having children on welfare and this, that, and the other, because their taxes are going up. So I understand from their perspective that, you know, they work hard every day. And just because they're working harder than someone else doesn't mean they have to pay for the person who's not working as hard. So, you know, I look at it that at the same token, I don't think that you and I have ever really, we've never had a friendship that was based on politics.
No.
We've always had a friendship based on how you treat me.
Exactly.
How I treat you, what you bring to the table spiritually, emotionally, psychologically, and what we bring to the table right. In those regards.
Well, and I can tell you, I have the dearest of friends who are as liberal. And I mean, the extreme. And then I also have friends who are conservative Republicans.
Uber conservative.
To the extreme. I love them both the same. And my love, my friendship is not based on their political views.
No.
I mean, it's not. And I'm grateful for that.
And I love, you know, like I said, to have a healthy debate.
Yes.
You know, and I love to, you know yourself, we have multiple friends that you know, gronk me and jab at me about, right. You know, certain things that I believe in. And then I come back, you know, on them.
Right.
And it's a healthy discussion. And we genuinely, folks, love each other.
Right.
And we laugh and cut up. So, I mean, I feel like that's what it's all about. So, you know what? Whether your candidate wins or loses, just know that if you are part of the process, then you did your part.
During these crazy times, life is really all about connecting to something bigger than day-to-day worries, like family, community, and even yourself. But at certain times, like when your kids somehow manage to make a mess, what you really need is a break. And that's why I like to clear a few levels of Best Fiends, the 5-star rated mobile puzzle game. I love to play Best Fiends when I'm waiting on Chloe at Tudor, when I'm sitting in the carpool line, just to get my mind off the 50 million things that I'm thinking about every single day. With over 100 million downloads, this 5-star rated mobile puzzle game is a must play. There's more levels, events, and challenges added all the time, so play away. There's always one more level. Seriously, once you download Best Fiends, boredom won't stand a chance. So if you're worried you'd get to level 3,247 and run out, don't. There are 5,000 levels and counting. There's always another update, whether it's more levels or fun changes to the game based on fan feedback. Just don't blame us if you end up kind of obsessed. Download Best Fiends today on the Apple App Store or Google Play. That's Friends without the R. Best Fiends, FIENDS.
You know, we've not taken callers for a couple of weeks, so we're going to jump right on into that today.
Yes.
First caller, please.
Hi, Todd and Julie. This is Brendan from Paducah, Kentucky, and I just have a couple of questions for you today. I am a 20-year-old who had just moved away from his parents' house, and I just wanted to ask, when Chase and Savannah were getting older, around 16 to 19, did you guys hesitate to let them have jobs and go to college and everything, and let them be who they wanted to be? And my second question / statement is, I had just recently moved away from my mom's house. I'm 19 years old, and they told me when I left that I would never be able to come back if I moved away because I wanted a job and I wanted to go to college. I guess all I'm asking is, how would you guys deal with this situation? And thank you very much for letting us all call you. Have a great day.
Hey, Brendan, did we have trouble letting our kids, what was it, work from 16 to 18?
Yeah.
And then to move out?
Mm-hmm.
No, we did not. Now, granted, our children did not have jobs because I wanted them in school, focusing on their school. And I felt like it was my job to take care of them financially, spiritually, emotionally, and financially. So they didn't work. But when they got 18 and they were leaving for college, you know, yes, did it hurt? Oh my God, it took my breath away. Do you remember
mm-hmm.
the first one?
Exactly. It was a life change for everybody in
the
family.
Yes, because I was used to that child being in the house and being with me from the day they were born. And I remember it was the morning of the graduation party.
Mm-hmm.
And I was trying to shave, and the tears was washing away the shaving cream. And I got to the point where I really had to sit down on this bench that we had in our master bathroom and put my head between my legs because I started hyperventilating. You remember that?
Yep.
And
it took you, it took a good year for you to.
Yes, because I felt like there was such a loss. It was like almost like a death to me.
Right.
But that one made it easier for the next ones to come along.
Right.
So I think the first is always the hardest. And now, you know, we're worried to death about Grayson leaving in 4 years.
Right.
So we're already starting to think about that. When Savannah left, I was like, oh, my God, how's this going to work? I mean, you know, I talk to her 100 times a day and, you know, we have lunch together every day and we talk about everything. And my heart was breaking. And then when Chase left, you know, it was, again, the same thing. I don't think it's as much with your boys as it is your girls.
Right.
But with my girls, it was, like, debilitating to me. And that's what brought us to Nashville because, you know, Savannah came to school here. And, you know, that was one of the greatest gifts, you know, is that we have truly fallen in love with Nashville. But I don't think that you should ever be punished for wanting to get an education or to get a job.
Right.
And, you know, I don't think that as parents, I think when your child needs you, we're supposed to be there. I think that when our child knocks on our door and says, I need to come home, you let them come home.
Right.
And, you know, you keep saying, we don't need all these bedrooms. We don't need this. We don't need that. And what is my constant statement?
Well, I have to have a place for my kids to come back to if they need it.
Right. And so, I think that answers your question. I mean, you know, I would want to, you know, and I kind of understand the mom and dad because I went through that process of making those kind of threats, thinking that it would intimidate one of the kids, you know, to conform and do what I wanted them to do, you know, because I didn't want them to know that I was the one struggling with this decision, not them. But, you know, thank God I've gotten better with that and I can recognize it and understand it, that, you know, every child has to go out on their own. And as parents, that's what we are tasked with, is raising our children to adulthood to where they can go out and thrive and be, you know, self-sufficient and be, you know, a positive role model to the people that they whose lives they come in contact with. So it is hard. So what I would say is show your parents some grace because you're their child and you're no longer with them. And that's a loss and an ache in their heart that they're going to have to, it'll heal. Time will take care of that, and then they'll start seeing you in a different way. But always, 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 in every decision you make, make sure that it's handled with respect. Because, and that's on both sides. I had to learn that as well. I was raised in the South, and, you know, where children were to be seen and not heard. And I raised 5 children, all very opinionated, very vocal, and you know, there have been times in our life to where there has been disrespect on both sides. And that's not a good thing. So whenever you decide that this conversation is getting to a point to where you're getting ready to say something that's going to disrespect your parents who've raised you, cut the conversation off. And I would say the same thing to your parents. When you are getting ready to say something that is going to hurt your child or going to cause them to strike back at you, cut the conversation off. just say, you know what? Nothing's going to be gained from us continuing this conversation right now. So we're going to respectfully agree to disagree, and we'll pick this back up at a later date if necessary.
Right.
So, but it took a long time for me to get to that point, Brendan.
Next caller.
Hello, this message or question is for Julie. Hello, Todd. I want you to feel included too. This is Shelley from Illinois, and I also had breast cancer. I had triple negative breast cancer at 40 years old. I've since then done the reconstructive surgery, but I just don't feel like I'm the same person. I look different. I feel totally different. I also had a major job change. I had a professional job, and now my job is not a professional job, so it's a less stress. It is a safer job for me. I'm not in the public eye. But I just don't feel like I'm using my potential. I feel a lot of things are different, and I want to know if that's okay or how to make me feel, aka normal, again. I can't wait to hear your advice. Have a great day.
Hi, Shelley. First of all, I want to say what a blessing it is that you were able to call in. You triple negative breast cancer at age 40. You've been through a lot. And I think you need to realize how blessed you truly are. And yes, I totally, totally get it that you don't feel the same, because I don't feel the same. I mean, I was diagnosed in 2012, so you're talking about 8 years ago, and I still to this day don't feel the same. But when I start to feel that way, I think about my friends, people who I have lost to breast cancer, and I thank God every day for allowing me to be a survivor, to get through this. And even though I may not look the same or feel the same, it could be so much worse. So I would just encourage you to keep a positive attitude. Find someone that you can talk to. There's breast cancer support groups. And just, you know that you've had a lot of changes, it sounds like, from your job, your health, and your job is what you make of it. And even though it's might not be exactly what you want, keep looking. Do what you're doing now, but keep looking, and maybe God's will be to open the door to find that perfect job for you. But I would just say to you, Shelley, that my hat is off to you. You sound amazing. And, you know, what you have done is no small feat. This is a huge, no one realizes it until they have gone through it. So I just keep encouraging you to move forward, Todd.
You know, Shelley, what I would say to you is that I don't think you're supposed to be the same. I think that you went through this, and that God took you through this, you know, through the valley to take you to lead you to higher ground. And I don't think, and I'm basing this off of you, Julie, and myself, and so many other women who have come into our lives, you know, because of who we are and your diagnosis. But I truly believe that, and we've discussed this before, I feel like that your breast cancer brought us even closer together.
Yes, for sure.
And people used to always say that you and I were too close. Do you remember that?
Mm-hmm.
There's no reason for y'all to have to talk on the phone 100 times a day. Well, you don't get to tell me how many times I want to talk to my wife a day. You remember all that?
Mm-hmm.
And then the breast cancer hit in 2012, and that brought us even closer together, but on a level that I had never experienced. We had, you know, I'm talking about from my perspective, I had always had a great physical connection with you. I always loved you and knew that I wanted to be with you for the rest of my life. But it wasn't until March of 2012 that spiritually and emotionally, I was able to let down that wall and say, okay, I'm just going to experience the hurt, but I'm not going to allow the fear of the hurt to block the blessing of how deep this love can go. So what I would say to you is that look at the breast cancer as, because you're a survivor, look at the breast cancer as just a, you know, a vehicle that's taking you to higher ground and taking you to positive change in your life. And right now, it may not feel like it's positive, but God's still working on you and God's still working out the plan of where he wants you to land. So just literally be grateful that you are healthy, that you can call into this show, that you can talk to your loved ones, and that it's not the alternative. Be, you know, accept the blessing God has given you, which is that you are a survivor. And God allowed you to survive because there's better things coming. So I hope that helps you, Shelley.
If you have suffered from a migraine, you know that no two migraines are alike. If you have a migraine, you know it. That's why Cove helps you find an FDA-approved treatment that works for your migraine. Cove helps you get the migraine relief you need all online. A licensed doctor will recommend a treatment plan customized to your migraine, and your prescription will be delivered to your door for as little as $10 per month. Just a few minutes of your time, and you get a personalized treatment plan from 20-plus research-backed, doctor-recommended migraine medications. And you don't have to worry about running out because Cove sends you your migraine meds every month. And during these times, that is a lifesaver. No insurance needed, no trip to the pharmacy, all online. Meds sent right to your door. With Cove, you can have more migraine-free days. They've treated over 300,000 migraine attacks and counting. So go to Cove.com to see their reviews. And 96% of customers give them 5 stars. You can get the relief you need right now with Cove. Go to withcove.com/cc for 50% off your first month of medication and free 2-day shipping. That's 50% off your first month of medication and free 2-day shipping at withcove.com/cc. That's spelled withcove.com/cc.
Next caller, please.
Hi, Todd and Julie. This is Cindy from North Carolina. I love y'all's show. Also, thank you all for your profession of your faith. I feel like that God has drawn me to your podcast to help me get back in touch with my faith. But my question to you is, I am a mother of a 29-year-old son who has a wife. I have 4 beautiful grandchildren. My son was in the Navy. While he was in the Navy for 6 years, I helped him raise my grandchildren. When he got out, he had got a new wife. He adopted her daughter. She adopted his 2 children because the mother of them gave them up, and they had a child together, which made the 4. Long story short, he made her choose her or me, but she chose her and kicked me out on the street. I lost everything I had, and I've now, it's been 3 years, I got back home to North Carolina to my mother, and when the fires were going on in California and Oregon, I found a friend of my daughter-in-law's and just sent her a message and said, I just want to know if they're safe, because I did find out that they live in Oregon. And I got a call from my daughter-in-law and my son angrily saying, it's been 3 years. You should know. We don't want anything to do with you. We don't care about you. Our children don't care about you. There's no telling what they've told my grandchildren. And, my son finally got on the phone and said, when you left Nevada, you died to me. That broke my heart because I was a single mother to him. I helped him, like I said, raise his grandchildren while he was in the Navy. We were always best friends. And now this woman is a narcissist. She's brainwashed him. So what is your best advice on this? Because I'm alone. My son was my life and my grandchildren. My mother's 80 years old. My father's deceased. My husband, after 20 years, left me being married this last October. So I'm alone. So without them, I have nothing. And I just like your prayers and your best advice. Thank you.
Cindy in North Carolina. First, let me correct you. You are not alone. You are a child of God. And here's what, you know, and I say this to our kids every day, you know, they're in and out of love, you know, like you change underwear. And I always say this, when God comes first in your life, everything else falls into place. So when we don't place God first, then you can't expect us to come in first. And at the end of the day, what God has for us, and I literally had a moment this week to where I was in prayer, and I prayed about some things, and you witnessed this, Julie, because mm-hmm. you saw the time. 25 minutes after leaving prayer, I received a phone call that was part of my prayer. Now, how many times has that happened in our life?
Several.
And so that shows me that God hears what I'm saying when I go into prayer.
So, and that doesn't mean that every time you pray, folks,
that you're going to get what you ask for.
No. Or that he's going to deliver you from your pain or from whatever. But it does mean that regardless, he hears what you're saying.
100%. And, you know, just because we don't get it doesn't mean that God didn't hear the prayer. It just means that that ain't what God wants us to have. He's got something better in store for us. So what I would say to you, Cindy, is that, you know, your son has made this decision, and let him sit in it. Because I'm going to tell you right now, I have been so blessed with a wife that embraced my mother and father, that has been, I could not go throughout the rest of the world and find a woman that would be better to my mom and daddy than what Julie has been. She became the daughter that they never had. And my parents always wanted a daughter, you know, which, you know, I mean, maybe they kind of thought of me as, you know, a son and a daughter. But, you know, I couldn't search the world over for better than that. So anytime someone comes into a family and they start trying to chisel away at the family unit to pull that person over to their side and alienate them from the rest of the world and from those that have loved them and have been there for them since day one, then that's a sign that you got to move those bitches on. Now, your son has adopted her daughter and he's now had a child with her, and this woman's adopted his children. Let them lay in the bed they've made, because as I was growing up, my mother used to say, when you make your bed hard, you're going to lay in it. So what he loses out on every day with his mother, he won't never get those days back. You don't have to say what you've done for him. He knows what you've done for him. I know this. I've lived this. So as long as your side of the street is clean, don't worry about sweeping his, because he's got to live in it. And I have learned that just because you have a child and they have children doesn't mean that you're going to have that great relationship with your grandchild. You know, when you don't have that day-to-day, you know, contact and you don't communicate with them and whatever, you don't think of them the same way. And that bond is not there that's supposed to be created from birth. So, you know, that's just not there. So I just think that, you know, you need to focus on your relationship with God and see where God's going to take you, because God's got another chapter in your life and he will be as involved as you want him to be. So I would strongly encourage you to focus on your faith, because if you're living in your faith, there's no room for fear. Let your son figure this out. And if he doesn't figure it out, that's going to be his loss. And it is your loss, because you did have a relationship with his children, because as you said, you did help, you know, you did help raise them up until the time that he came home or whatever. But that was as much for you as it was for him, because you got to spend that time with your grandchildren. Even though it may have been hard, you were still there with them. You got to tell them you love them. You got to put them to bed at night knowing they were safe. You fed them every morning. You did all the things that helped make their life easier, but at the same token, it also enriched your life. So just because someone comes into our life doesn't mean that they're going to finish this ride with us. So I just think that, you know, I really do think that you should look at it that way. Julie?
I totally agree. And as hard as it is, because these are your children, this is your child, this is your son, he's going to have to see the error of his ways. And I believe that.
Okay. Next caller, please.
Hey, Julie. Hey, Todd. This is Amy, and I'm a therapist. And I wanted to just follow up on last week's session, and very specifically, there was a caller who asked about anxiety. And so I really want to say that I'm appreciative, Julie, of your saying that anxiety is a real thing, and you're 100% right. What it doesn't have to be, however, is a lifestyle. And so when we're looking at anxiety, the cognitive behavioral therapeutic approach, that is to say that as I feel, I think, and as I think, I feel, and at the base of all of that are my behaviors. And when everything is in congruence, meaning everything's aligned, then there's nothing to do except continue to ascend. And so ascension is always the goal for most of us. But you have to also be able to know how to manage staying in the moment and living only in this moment and not fixating or ruminating about things of the past that you had no control over or things of the future that haven't even arrived yet that you still won't have any control over. So really just being able to live in whatever moment you find yourself in right now is truly the gift of managing life's anxieties. So I just wanted to be able to share that with you guys. Love your show. Love everything about your premise and love everything that you bring to the universe. Thanks.
And thank you so much for just that clarification, because you are absolutely right. Anxiety and so many other things, it's, yes, they're absolutely 100% real, but it's not meant for us to wallow in. It's meant for us to find that help and to be able to move forward. So thank you. Thank you so much for that input. Next caller, please.
Hi, Todd and Julie. This is Allison from Wichita Falls, Texas. My question for you, well, it's really for Julie. I was diagnosed with ocular melanoma cancer 4 years ago. I'm now in remission, and I have been struggling with the fear of going to my appointment. It has taken over my life, I feel. Did you, Julie, ever have any problems with that? Or, Todd, what about you? How do you handle that? I have been trying to turn to God, but I just can't seem to get out of my fear. If you could answer my question. Love y'all. Bye.
You know, I'll give you a short answer, and then I think Julie needs to take the bulk of this. When you said you try to turn to God, there is no half in and half out. You need to turn to God and commit your fear to Him. Because when you take that and lay it at His feet and walk away from it, you need to trust, if you are where you are in your faith, that God will handle what you laid down. So at the end of the day, you cannot live in faith and live in fear, because it's a contradiction. You can't say that I'm walking in my faith, I'm living in my faith, while being consumed with fear, because that doesn't work. God stands for faith. The devil is fear. So the two don't walk together. So you have to trust that God's plan is going to be fulfilled. Regardless of what the outcome is, we are not going to change God's plan. And whatever it is that God has us to go through, and I've had a lot of heartache in my life, whatever it is that God has for us to go through, there will come a time to where you will have a greater understanding of it. May not be in the moment of it, but there will come a time to where you have a greater understanding of it. Julie?
Absolutely, Allison. And I think it is normal for you to have that nervous feeling when, oh my gosh, you know, I've got an appointment in 3 months. Oh my gosh, got an appointment in a month, that next week. And you're all, you know, because you have gone through it and you know, what am I going to do? But just as Todd said, you cannot live in that fear. You cannot be robbed every day of happiness because you're constantly fearing the unknown. So for that, our prayers are out to you, and hope that every appointment from this point on is a positive one. All right. So what does 2020 mean for small businesses? Well, you have to do more with less. Suddenly, every single hire is critical, but there are fewer resources to find the right people. That's why Indeed is here to help. Indeed.com is the number one job site in the world because Indeed gets you the best people fast. Unlike other sites, Indeed gives you full control and payment flexibility over your hiring. You only pay for what you need. You can pause your account at any time, and there are no long-term contracts. Plus, Indeed provides powerful tools to make your search that much easier. Like sponsored job sites, which are shown to be 3.5 times more likely to result in a hire. With 75% of online job seekers visiting Indeed each month, Indeed is going to get you that important hire that you need, just like they have for over 3 million businesses. So right now, Indeed is offering our listeners a free $75 credit to boost your job site, which means more quality candidates will see it fast. Try Indeed out with a $75 credit at Indeed.com/CC, their best offer available anywhere. So right now, go to Indeed, that's Indeed.com/CC. Terms and conditions apply. Offer valid through December 31st. Next caller, please.
Hi, Todd. Hi, Julie. Good morning. My name's Karen. I am so glad I could finally call into the Julie and Todd cast. Todd, you know you are the straw that stirs the drink. And Julie, you are just that pillar of strength and gives everyone the foundation for everything. Together, you guys are just a dynamic duo. So I have a compliment and a question. The compliment just goes out to you and your family for sticking together with all the different endeavors you guys are involved in. It seems like no matter what, the family is just at the core, and it really shows through with whatever you guys are doing. It's nice to see a family have each other's back and be so dedicated to your Christian faith and non-apologetic. And my question is, you know, last week I think on the podcast you said Nanny Faye was voting for the first time, and I was just wondering what compelled her to vote. I'm curious and wondering if there was some reason or cause that motivated her to exercise her right to vote in this particular election. I found that, you know, I'm 42 and I've never felt pressure before in my 20s or 30s. And I have friends that believe certain things and they're very opinionated. And I've always been pretty neutral, middle of the road. I like to hear from both sides. I don't just follow a particular party blindly, and I just don't like to hate anyone. I don't want to cast anyone out. You know, I believe that there's good in most people. So I just didn't know if you guys had any advice on how to deal with those kind of political pressures. You know, this seems like these last couple of elections have been so heated and has caused a lot of rifts in families and friends and relationships. And just what is your advice on how to deal with that? Because that just seems to be a source of trouble. I hope you guys have a great day, and thanks again for all that you guys do. Thanks, guys.
Hi, Karen. As far as why Nanny Faye chose to vote in this election, I truly think it's because she has educated herself more than ever. She's had maybe a little bit more time to do that. Her life has always been so busy with work and raising kids. And now that she's older, I think she truly has had the time to sit down and make an educated decision about her political views. And I think a lot of her political views were based off of her grandparents' political views. And now she's learned, she has her own views. But as Todd and I said at the opening of this podcast, we have friends that are on completely opposite ends of the spectrum. And that does not affect how we feel about them, because I truly believe that our differences are what makes us who we are. And they're what makes our country the greatest country in the world. You know, if you know that you're on opposite ends when it comes to political views, I think that's just a conversation you don't have with that person. There has to be so many other things that you connect with. Todd?
You know, I think that for my mother, the reason that this election meant something to her is because, like you said, she's really taken to following the whole process. And as you know, and growing up, my mother worked 12, 14, 16 hour days, and she wasn't going to lose 2 hours to go and vote. And I think that in her generation, women were dumbed down so much that they were taught that their opinions didn't really matter. And I think she kind of went along with that. And I can remember, you know, my mother really becoming involved in politics and wanting to know things when Clinton was in office. And when the whole thing went down with he and Monica Lewinsky, and I had to explain to my mother, you know, what oral sex was, which was very, you know, interesting. But, you know, from that point forward, I think she started taking an interest and she wanted to hear what they had to say and what were they doing for women and what policies did they have in place that would protect women and give them equal pay and things like that. And I watched my mother with her job having a man that had less experience than her continue to be promoted, and then she would have to come up behind him and train him. And so I think that now she just has got so much of just, she's got so much fire in her now that she's not going to be suppressed. No one's going to hold her back. And she wanted her vote to count and her voice to be heard. And I'm, you know, I'm grateful for that. I'm proud of her for, you know, for doing that. And, you know, it is what it is. So with that being said, I've got to run, but I'm going to turn the podcast over to you, my love,
okay,
because I'm sure that you will be able to handle it very, very well.
All right.
So thanks to each and every one of you each week for tuning in, and good luck and God bless.
All right. Next caller, please.
Hi, Todd and Julie. I'm a huge fan. And I guess my question to you guys is, I've been dating my significant other now for about a year and some change, and I've noticed that we don't really have the same views on, like, marriage and having kids and all that good stuff. So I just kind of need help and a little bit of guidance. Thank you guys so much. I love you. Have a good one.
All right. So you've been together for a little over a year and some change, as you said. You know, I do think it's important to be with someone who is like-minded in the matters that truly matter. And that would be marriage, that would be children. Because, you know, if you want kids, he doesn't want kids, that's a huge issue. Because if you marry this man and you really want kids, he doesn't want kids, then you're going to build resentment. And then if you end up pregnant, then he's going to be upset. He's going to be resentful. And that's why I truly think there's someone for everyone. And just because you've been dating for a year does not mean he's the one necessarily. I think this is something that you need to pray about, because God will bring that person, that right person, to you. And Todd and I do not agree on everything, but the core values we have always agreed upon. And I do believe that's one of the reasons that our marriage has been successful, because at its core, we truly believe the same things. And so you just need to know, and I tell this to my children, do not go into a marriage, do not go into a relationship thinking that you're going to change someone. Yes, people grow, people evolve over time, but those core things most of the time do not change. So I would say to you, keep your options open and know that if this is not the right person, you know, maybe you need to focus on yourself for a little bit, maybe not be in a relationship at all. And until that right person comes along that does share your same values. Next caller, please.
Hi, Todd. Hi, Julie. I'm Stacy calling from Florida. And my question is on adoption and grandkids. My husband and I, who have been married 39 years, are faced with adopting a newborn little girl. My daughter gave birth to her and is on heavy drugs, heroin. The baby was born addicted and had to be in the NICU for
14 days on morphine to withdraw. We're having a little bit of feeding issues and things like that, but overall, she's healthy. Your show gives me comfort, especially in these types of situations. This is a tough decision to start all over with a baby at 57 years old, yet we know and feel that this is what God expects us to do. Can you give me any advice on how you handled the decision, making the decision on bringing Chloe in to your home and making her a part of the family? And also, if you fully adopted her, was the process difficult? And did you do a full adoption? One of the attorneys are telling us that we could do a guardianship, but we are not willing to do that right now. We feel that we should fully adopt her, as we will be responsible for her care 100%. I would just love to know a little bit more of your thoughts on that process. And again, love the show, love you guys, and love the laughter and fun that you bring into my home when I watch it. Thank you.
Hi, Stacy from Florida. You know, Stacy, unfortunately, what you are dealing with, so many grandparents are dealing with. And what I would tell you is that Chloe has brought so much joy into our lives that I can't fathom my life without her. Was it an easy decision? I think it was an easy decision because we knew what God was telling us, that yes, you have to make sure that this child is protected. You have to make sure that she's taken care of, that she's educated, that she's taught, you know, the difference between right and wrong, and that she has the very best chance in this world. And so I was, you know, not thinking I was going to be raising another child, but, you know, I don't know what God's plan is. And, you know, as we have said before, the moment you start trying to plan out your own life, that's when God shows you who's in control. And he just laughs. You have said that you know that this is what you need to do and that you feel that this is what God's calling you to do. So therefore, I would say you've already answered your own question. As far as the legal part of it, I'm not going to discuss our particular situation on the podcast, and especially Todd had to leave early. But I would tell you to, you know, take the advice of your attorney and know exactly what you're getting into and what your rights are. So, Stacy, best of luck, and please give that sweet baby hugs and kisses from the Chrisleys. Next caller, please.
Hey, Todd Chrisley. My name's Linda, and I'm from Dothan, Alabama. I listen to y'all's podcast every day at work. I have a son who's on drugs, and I'm trying to do the hard thing by not giving him money, not letting him live in our house, not sure where he's living, and I'm just praying that he wants to get help, and it's the hardest thing I've ever had to do. He steals from us. He lies to us. We try to get him help, but he doesn't want help. Just want to know how you feel about that. Thank you.
Hi, Linda from Dothan, Alabama. Thank you so much for listening. I would say to you that, you know, we have been vocal about our struggles in our family. And sometimes that you get to a point where you truly do have to say, you know what, God, this is bigger than I, and I am turning this child over to you. That doesn't mean that you're not going to worry. That doesn't mean that you're not going to continuously pray that he gets help, the help that he needs. But you also, there comes a time when you have to preserve yourself and the other family members. If he's stealing, if he's lying, if he's whatever. You know, I would say to you, yes, as hard as it is, sometimes, you know, you can't help someone who doesn't want to help themselves. And especially if they're an adult, you know, you can only you can only help them if they're willing to get that help. So, you know, we're sending prayers out to you, Linda, and hopefully he will come to you and be like, you know what, Mama, I'm ready to get the help that I know that I need. So I think we have time for one more caller.
Hey, Todd and Julie. This is Sierra from Utah. I love you guys so much. So I have a couple questions. So I've been married for 5 years to my high school sweetheart. I'm now 25. We have a 5-year-old and a 5-month-old, and we're doing really good right now. In the beginning, it was really bad. He was only 19 when we got married. I was 20, and yes, I was pregnant, but he would always sleep over at his friends' houses. He would get drunk and not tell me what he was doing. He would just think he could come home the next day while I was taking care of a brand new baby, and I was like, no way are you doing this anymore. And then it got much better. He stopped doing it. And then just recently, I have a 5-month-old, and it's not every day, but he has done it a couple times in the last few months. And he'll just go and say, oh, well, it's because I was drinking too much, or I didn't want to drive drunk. And I'm like, that's no excuse for you not to be home. So any thoughts on how I can handle this? Because I keep saying this isn't okay, and he's cocky and has an ego and thinks, oh, well, I don't have to listen to you, or, you know, kind of make turns on me and makes it my fault. But how can I handle this? Because he's very stubborn, very stubborn. Like, if I told him to not jump off a cliff, he would probably go jump off a cliff. Can't wait to hear from you. Thanks. Bye.
Hi, Sierra. Well, it sounds like you are dealing with a spouse who's very immature. And as a mother of boys, you know, I get it, because at 25, my son will be 25 his birthday. And we still have those days where I'm like, where is your brain? But he has children. He has responsibilities. These are not just your children. These are the children that you two made together. And I truly believe that you have to set those boundaries, because if he's not, and you have to be willing to accept the consequences when you do set those boundaries. But that's not okay. If he is working a job, if he's doing what he needs to be doing as a husband and as a parent, he doesn't have time to be out with friends. And, you know, it sounds like maybe he has some friends who are still single and don't have the same responsibilities. But my opinion, and what I would tell my own child, is that this is not okay. You have to set the boundaries, and then you have to be willing to live with the consequences. But this is not okay. I don't know if you have sons or daughters, but if you have a daughter, you are teaching your daughter that this is acceptable behavior to receive from a man. And if you have a son, you're teaching him by just the actions in the house that it's okay for him to treat his future wife that way one day. And these are not okay. So best of luck, Sierra. And I think that will wrap up this podcast today of Chrisley Confessions. We thank you guys so much. New episodes of Chrisley Knows Best coming out this month. So until next week, good luck and God bless.
Best Western made booking our family beach vacation a breeze, and it felt a little like... Time to go. Okay, kids, back in the room.
You gotta come on, guys. This has to be like...
Good night. Life's a trip. Make the most of it at Best Western.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee.
With McDonald's Mix and Match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.